Is that what you want, church? More love, more power? Amen. More of Him in your life? Amen. Isn't it good to see the youth up here singing? Isn't that awesome? McMillan's, Little Tinley's first Sunday. Oh, shh. I was fixing to bring it, girl. Can you stand up and just, will you wake her up and let everybody get a look? All right, Luke, you didn't have a whole lot to do with that, dude, so don't, you know, just. Emily did all the work, but we're glad that you guys are here this morning. We celebrate her first Sunday with us. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. You're like, hey, he doesn't preach out of Chronicles every week. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20, beginning in verse 5. I want to set this passage up a little bit. King Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, he's had some of his messengers have come to him and have told him about this army that is bearing down on them and has already crossed the sea and is not very far away. And this army is a great army that outnumbers them. And really, the odds were well against the nation of Israel. So I want you to notice Jehoshaphat's response to this news that he had this army pressing in and didn't look good for him and his people. In verse 5, chapter 20. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or the plague of famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he's a son of people and all that. As he stood in the assembly, he's a son of a bunch of people. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I can tell that you are here. I sense your presence in us and with us. I pray that you would speak in power and authority and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember when my mom's here this morning. She might remember this. I think it was a 63 Chevy Impala that we had. But anyway, it might have been one of our other Impalas. Well, I think we had like 100 Impalas growing up. But anyway, we had this older car when I turned 16, and I had this car, and I remember driving it downtown. Now, to a 16-year-old that's just gotten his license, downtown Abilene was a pretty intimidating place. And I remember that. I don't even remember why I was going down there, but I remember going down there and parked the car. And, you know, and back in those days, I think you had to parallel park and all of that, you know, kind of stuff. And so it was pretty intimidating, and went in and did my business. And I came out to get in the car and come home. And I remember putting the key in the ignition, and I remember turning the key, and it was dead. And I remember just this panic. And this youth, it was before cell phones. It was in the Stone Ages. We just tapped rocks for communication. But no cell phone. I didn't have any money with me to even use a payphone. And scared to death. And I'm like, what do I do? And we lived very far from where I was. And I remember I went into this diner, and I hope God's forgiven this man for this. He's probably long gone by now, but he was not very gracious to a little 16-year-old frightened kid. And I went into this diner, and I asked them, does anybody have any tools? Because I was going to try to clean up the battery cables and see if I could get it going and all. And everybody just looked at me, you know, like, have you lost your mind? We're eating here, you know. And I remember this one guy sitting on the bar, and he kind of made the mistake of making eye contact with me. And I said, how about you, sir? Do you have any tools that I can borrow? And I told him my situation. And he said, and he got up, and he kind of grunted, and he said, this is going to cost you. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, I don't have any money. I said, never mind, because I don't have any money. And so and he goes, no, fine, you know. And he went and got me some. That's another story, another sermon and all of that. But I've gotten over it. But anyway, so I was 16. That was, I don't know, we don't even want to calculate how many years ago that was, 20 or so probably. Anyway, and so he came out and he gave me some pliers, and I was able to get the battery cables off and got my pocket knife and cleaned them up a little bit and got the car started and made it home. But I remember just the helpless feeling that I had when this machine that was sitting out there, everything it was designed to do, had no power. It was worthless to me. I mean, it didn't matter how slick of an Impala it was. It was worthless. It didn't matter what the seat covers, how slick they were, or how clean it was, or how shiny the dash was, or how big, you know, the white walls were. You remember white walls? We used to have white walls. But it didn't matter about any of that stuff. I had this machine that was designed to do something. It was created to provide a purpose, and it was totally powerless, and which made me totally powerless. Today we're continuing this sermon series, God Is, and this week God is power. If you've probably noticed a theme in some of the music that we're worshiping to today, but this need, this desire for us to have power. We're gonna kind of explore this scripture in 2 Chronicles a little bit, but I want us to walk through some different points that I think this scripture makes to us. The first thing is that God provides us power to live victorious lives. He doesn't provide us power so that we can impress our family and friends. He doesn't provide us power so that we can build ourselves up. I see these sometimes. And I know some of them, maybe their hearts are right, but sometimes I watch these evangelists on TV, and I'm like, and you know, they got the gold chairs, you know, that are like this, and they're inlays, and all. I'm like, I don't know, something just doesn't feel right sometimes. And so God provides us power to live victorious lives. Now listen to the story out of Luke chapter 24, the story of the two men, the disciples after Jesus is resurrected, and they're on their way to Emmaus, and they Jesus comes along and walks with them, and he opens the Scripture, their minds to the Scripture, and he begins to communicate all the things that Scripture foretold about him and that he had fulfilled, but they still didn't know it was Jesus. And then he says in verse 49, he says, I am going to send to you what my Father has promised. Did you know that when God promises something, he will do it? Did you know that? His Father had promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Don't you love that, church? Are you clothed with power from on high? Amen. I mean, if we, and we go on, and I want to, I'll make that point in just a second, but Acts chapter 1, that Jesus, right before he ascended, after he was resurrected, and right before he ascended, he tells the disciples, you will receive power, again that promise, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you, and this power, he goes on to say, this power will be in you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. We, church, those of us in Christ, have received the Holy Spirit, and we have been clothed with power from on high. Do you feel powerful? Do you feel powerful, church? Now, 2 Timothy, I love this passage that the Apostle Paul has got this young mentee that he has been discipling and bringing along in the faith. His name is Timothy, and Paul is like a father to him, and he says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, for God, Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Do we feel powerful, church? I mean, do we feel powerful, the things that we face? Jehoshaphat was facing this mighty army that he was far outnumbered him. And they were pressing in on him. They had already crossed the sea, and they were not far away. Second thing, God provides us power to overcome the enemy. Now, as Jehoshaphat in verse 6, the verse we just read out of 2 Chronicles, he says in this prayer to God, when he knows where the situation he's in, Jehoshaphat says to him in this prayer, power and might, God, are in your hand. They're in your hand. They're not in my hand. He knows that. They're in your hand. And no one can withstand you. And then he goes on in verse 15, he says, do not be afraid or discouraged. This the response back to Jehoshaphat. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Do we feel like the battle is ours, church? Maybe I'm the only one. I get tired. I was talking to Cheryl this weekend, and I keep up with our news. I keep up with things going in our world, the culture wars that are going on all around us. Does anybody know we're in a war? Does anybody else see it? It's all around us. And my choices, I feel like my choices are to be the ostrich in the sand and just go la 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 la. And not, I mean, I tell you, my life would be a lot less stressful if I didn't know all the stuff that's happening in our nation, in our culture. And yet, I believe God wants us to be informed. He wants us to be informed so we understand what the battle is. There is a battle. But here's my dilemma, and here's my struggle. Maybe it's yours. My struggle is I can't let it become my war. I can't let it be the evil forces of darkness coming against just me. Because, I mean, the enemy will swallow us up. He will swallow us up. The battle is yours, Lord. The battle is yours. It's not ours, but it's God's. Did you know that God is not the only one with power? Did you know our enemy, the devil, has power? Did you know that? And I really believe, after seeing seeing polls and just listening, just keeping my ears open. I hear there's Christians that don't even believe in the devil. I mean, I'm just open your word. Open the word of God and just start reading. The devil is real. And he has power. Luke chapter 10, listen to this. Jesus is telling the 70, he had sent out 72 disciples before he was crucified. And he says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Hello, Jesus. What? Jesus is saying the enemy has power? Nothing will harm you, he goes on to say. I've given you the authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Church, you need to understand you have an enemy, and it's not flesh and blood. You have an enemy, a spiritual enemy that wants to take you out. He wants your marriage. He wants your self-esteem. He wants pride. He wants to take you out financially and at work. He wants to destroy your relationship with your children. He wants to destroy us, and he has power. But God's word goes on to say that greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. Did you know that the same God that resurrected Jesus, the same God that empowered Jesus on the cross, lives in you? Did you know that? We have to call on that power. We have to beg and plead to God to send us that power, to empower us, to just make it. Does anybody know that this world is tough? It's tough. Stuff happens it all the time. People get sick and tragedies happen. And I mean, things happen. There's a lot of good stuff too, but it's tough. The tough stuff just comes at us. And we must have power to overcome it. And we have to understand, first of all, that we are in a spiritual battle. And it's only through spiritual weapons that we will succeed. Through the Word of God, through the power of His Spirit, we call on the name of Jesus. And this may sound like, ooh, like the movie of the week or whatever. But church, that's one of the devil's trick, is to convince him that none of this is happening, that he's not after us. Oh, no. I mean, it's just, sometimes I think he's slick. Our enemy is slick. As we are looking for this power, number three, we must remain connected to this power source. You know, one thing, and I'm picking on the young people with the cell phones. Everybody in here is probably texting right now under their seat. I know. I understand how it works. But, cell phones and computers and all that stuff has transformed our world, some in really miraculous ways and other ways kind of not so good. But it's transformed our world. Whether we like it or not, that's the world we live in now. And the one thing, I've got a cell phone like everybody else. The one thing about that cell phone is every couple of days, it runs out of power. And I have to return it to its power source and plug it in and allow it to be replenished, to be charged, so that it fulfills the purpose that it was designed to be. Do we do that, church? Do we think that our power to just get through life, our power to be disciples, do we think that that's just unlimited power? It's like, oh, I accepted Jesus when I was 12, and I think there was some water involved too, and I'm good to go. No, that's the starting gate. That's not the finish line. When we accept Christ calls us into relationship with Him. He wants to be. He wants us to be intimate in our relationship with Him. He wants us. He wants to keep us replenished and charged and empowered. Now listen, what we do is we work in the flesh. We try to function in the flesh. We try to get a longer extension cord, don't we? Can you imagine your cell phone? You know, you plug it in at the house and you just kind of dragging the extension cord out. And it's like you wouldn't get very far. And if you come to the end of that extension cord, you go, oh, well, it's okay. So you just unplug it and you just keep on going. That's the way we live our lives, isn't it, church? Listen to Romans. Paul's talking in Romans chapter 8. He says, for what the law, see, that's this trying to be holy, the law, this trying to do everything just right. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So when we function in the flesh, we become powerless because sin just sucks the life right out of us. And we cannot be who God has called us to be when we are operating in the flesh by the law. We become powerless. We must remain connected to the source. Fourth thing, God's power, and this is a toughie. This is hard for us. God's power begins when we confess our dependence on Him. Now look at Jehoshaphat in verse 9. When this army's pressing in, he says, we cry out to you in our distress, God. We cry out to you. For we have no power. There it is again. There's that word. We have no power. The things that we're facing, we are powerless to defend ourselves against it. We have no power to face this vast army. Now, I want you, when I talk about vast army that Jehoshaphat, he was talking about a physical army. I want you to place the things that you face, the things attacking you in your life. Maybe it's some kind of particular sin, some kind of particular addiction. Maybe it's complacency. Maybe it's unforgiveness. What is your vast army that's coming against you? Broken relationships? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. You hear the desperateness in Jehoshaphat? Do you ever get that way? We do not know what to do. We are powerless. And then he goes on and he says, but our eyes are upon you. Jehoshaphat knew who to seek. We have no power. We don't know what to do about this vast army. But our eyes are upon you, Father. I love this passage out of 2 Corinthians. Paul is speaking of this struggle that he had in this vision that he had, and this thorn in his flesh. You remember the passage of the thorn in the flesh? And we don't know. He was using that as some symbolic of something going on in his life. The thorn in the flesh, again, it's this vast army, this thorn in the flesh. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me, Paul says. And here was the Lord's response. The Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in strength, in weakness. Hello. How many of us, that's the first thing we think of when we're facing a struggle in our life, we're facing that vast army? It's like, I think I need to be weak. Is that our first thought? This calls for a weak man. You know, we needed like a W or something. I'm going to get a suit like that, Cheryl. Next VBS. Weak man. Is that what we think of when we face those armies, those vast armies, those thorns in our flesh, those struggles in our lives? Do we think, oh man, this is a perfect opportunity to be weak? That's what we should think. But what we try to do is we try to suck it up, don't we? Pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, try harder. You can do it. How many of you have told your children that when they were little, learning to walk? Come on, sweetie, you can do it. You can do it. And it stays with us. And that's okay. I mean, that's an okay thing to do, to encourage your children. But that mentality is ingrained in us that we can do it. And God is saying, no, you can't. No, you can't. Not unless you stay plugged into the power source, which is me, through my spirit. My power, God says, is made perfect in weakness. So there's this Jehoshaphat crying out, we have no power to face this vast enemy. We don't even know what to do. So we're just crying out to you. But our eyes are upon you. Fifth thing. God provides us power to overcome death itself. You know, it's an honor, but it's also a very hard thing to do. It's an honor to walk with families through difficult times. As a pastor, I get many opportunities to do that. And it is an honor to try to be Christ's representative. But this past Monday, I did a memorial service for a little three-month-old twin that I spoke of last week. And one of the things, when I started that service, one of the things that I told the family and friends that had gathered is like, you know, one thing, I don't have all the answers, but one thing I do know for sure, none of us are escaping this life alive. We're just not. That's the ultimate finish line for each of us in this life is death. I don't worry about that. Death doesn't consume me a bit. Now, I haven't maybe faced it in many of the ways that you guys have, but I never give it a thought because I know what Jesus did for me. I know what he did for me. And I know what he did for you. And he provides us the power to overcome death itself. 1 Corinthians 6 says, by his power, God raised this Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you believe that? The same resurrection power that brought Christ triumphant out of the tomb resides in us. All we have to do is ask. And my prayer has been more and more these last few weeks. My prayer has been, God, empower me to be who you want me to be. Empower me today. Bring people into my path that need you. Empower me. Are we asking for that? Are we asking? Are we plugging ourselves in to the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we plugging ourselves in and say, charge me so that I can fulfill the purpose you've designed me to be? By his power, God raised this Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Guys, it's been a long time ago now, but this meal that we're preparing to partake in, I took it in this. Mom, don't take any offense to this because it was just me, just my being kind of thick-headed. But growing up, we took the Lord's Supper. I went to church every Sunday, and Mom and Dad raised me right and to be a Christian, to know all these things. But for 30 years of my life, it's like every month we did this, and it was just something we did. I kind of growing up, I'm thinking, I'm going to miss the kickoff, you know, or the lines are getting longer at Loopy's. And, you know, that's all it was to me. It was just something we did. And about 21 years ago now, I went on a walk to Emmaus. And if you don't know what a walk to Emmaus is, please see me because it's a great ministry. But I went on a walk to Emmaus and we took a communion that weekend, and I don't, you know, because I was in the right place, and I was the power of the Lord was upon me, and he broke me, and he demonstrated and showed me this is a costly meal. This is not a time filler. This is not, it's not even a liturgical act that we go through. If that's all it is, we're wasting our time. But he demonstrated to me that this is a costly meal. It cost me everything. And this, the night that, Jesus established this meal, that very night, he washed the disciples' feet. He humbled himself and became their servant. He went to pray in preparation for what he would face that next morning, the cross. And he literally sweat drops of blood. And it's a medical condition that when you're under severe stress, you can do that. Your capillaries rupture and sweat. Your sweat glands can actually have blood coming out. And it's a, read about it. It's there. But he was so anxious about what he faced to provide this meal for us that he sweat drops of blood for us. If you would, take your hymnal. We're gonna walk through the liturgy today. Let these words be more than just words on a page. Your hymnal, page 12. Hear this invitation, church. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. Do you love him? Then you're invited. Who earnestly repent of their sin. Do you repent of your sin? And you're invited. And seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Read with me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you would all pray your own personal prayer of confession silently. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. If you would skip over to page 13, the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Body of Christ, broken for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you. Christ our Lord has invited us to his table. If you are a professing Christian, if Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you repent of your sin, you are welcome at this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and you have repented of your sins, please come and feel welcome to come. If you do not want to come and be served, that's okay as well. If those who are serving in the praise team would come now. There is 5 serving stations. The 2 on this end and the 2 on this end have the intinction method, where you will be given a piece of bread, you dip it into the cup and partake in that way. The center section has the individual cups and the bread. If you would like to be served in that manner, you can come to the center. The altar rail is open as well. Come.
I'll say of the Lord.
Power to face this vast army that comes against us. But our eyes are upon Jesus. Amen? Go and tell someone. We are dismissed.